Hi, this is Roger Marsh for Family Talk. Do you remember Dr. Dobson's touching interview with Jessa Crisp?
That kind of took me by surprise, and she was standing in front of the door I couldn't leave, and I was trafficked during the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver, BC.
Or what about the powerful interview with Jensen Franklin?
And I don't know who's listening to me today, but I just want to tell you that your children, I don't care how deep they're in addiction, I don't care how messed up it is, don't you ever stop praying.
There were so many great Family Talk moments this year. It may be hard for you to pick your favorite program, but don't worry, we've done it for you. We have put together 18 of Dr. Dobson's most favorite broadcasts of the past year and present them to you together on 6 audio CDs in the 2018 Family Talk Best of Broadcast Collection. These entertaining and informative programs are sure to bless you and become a cherished part of your family resource library. This compelling CD set is our thank you for a suggested donation of $50 to support Family Talk. To join Dr. Dobson and Family Talk in serving families, call 877-732-6825 or visit drjamesdobson.org.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and welcome to Family Talk. This is, of course, a division of James Dobson Family Institute, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today. Merry Christmas to you. It's a little early to be saying that, but maybe it would be appropriate anyway. Today, we're going to do something very unusual. We're going to celebrate Veterans Day and Pearl Harbor Day, which takes us back to December 7th, 1941. To do that, I want to let you hear an interview that was recorded several years ago with a man who has been an icon for those of us who knew him in earlier years, but he's still known and loved around the country. I'm not going to tell you his name. You're going to hear it in a second, and we're going to let you hear that recording. So without further ado, here is an interview with a very famous man.
It is a pleasure to have a man on the program today. His name is Pat Boone. You just heard his voice. And Pat, you are a good friend and a good man. You love the Lord, and yeah. I'm deeply honored to have you here today.
Great to be with you, Jim. As I say, you have been a hero to me and my family for so long because you have bolstered what were our ideas, Shirley's and mine, my Shirley, about how to raise family, how to be a good family.
You raised four daughters.
And you now
in
the entertainment
have
community.
15 grandchildren
15
and
grandkids.
Are about to have a great-grandchild.
Yes, and about
you're
four
not
or
old
five
enough
months
to
from
do
now,
all that.
I'll be a great-granddaddy. But that can happen if you get married at 19 and you're fortunate and blessed enough to hang in there for 57 years. And then you start reaping that kind of reward.
You recorded your first record album in 1955, mm-hmm. and you've sold 45 million albums from then to now and had 38 top 40 hits. You said a few minutes ago you've recorded more than 20 gospel
albums. Yeah, right along, always recording gospel albums along with the pop or rock and roll or country albums, always doing gospel albums as well. It was not uncommon in the early part of my career to do 3 albums in a year, a gospel album, some great hits, and then some of my own songs or standards. And Elvis, when he went in the Army after about 2 years of a red-hot career, he couldn't record for a while. And the Beatles, they started putting out albums. I think they only put out about
1964.
About 1964, but they only put out about 16 albums. Oh. And so they were huge hits. But in terms of sheer volume and diversity, I've recorded more songs than anybody except Bing and Frank. And, I'm proud of that because I've touched a lot of bases. And I'm glad that some 20 of them were gospel albums.
And you're still at it.
Yeah.
But today is a special day.
Yeah, oh boy.
You know what today is.
Sure.
Would you tell our listeners if they haven't remembered?
Well, it is the anniversary of one of the most significant moments in American and world history. I was 7 years old. I'm talking about Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
And the invasion that took place that shocked America that shocked the world. Started.
And this is Pearl Harbor Day.
Pearl Harbor Day.
It recalls those events. Mm-hmm. You know, you said that you were 7 years old. I was five. And I remember vividly, for some reason, even the popular music
yes.
of that era. One of the songs was called Remember Pearl Harbor.
Well, I vaguely remember, let's remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet the foe. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we did the Alamo. We will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
Oh, that brings back such memories for me. I was in kindergarten, but I remember it vividly.
Yeah, because you remember the stunning impact it had on your parents, and it seemed like the whole world was going to change, and to some extent it did.
Well, it was very frightening. I've said this before, but I remember my mother giving me a bath one night, and I said, Mother, could we lose this war? And she said, yes, honey, we need to pray about that because we could.
Certainly
that
could.
Was great anxiety
The way the country came together— we understood there was an enemy, there was a nation, there were actually two or three nations, but we were drawn into the world war. But it took tremendous sacrifice. I remember when, you know, Mama couldn't have stockings. They came up with a product called liquid stocking. It was just like man tan, you know, tan her legs, but they couldn't have nylon for stockings, couldn't have sugar, gasoline was rationed.
Everything was
rationed.
Women
went to work in defense plants because the guys were all fighting. And we had air raid drills. We turn out all the lights at night and get real quiet. The whole neighborhood went completely dark. And sacrifice was everywhere. We understood that we were all in this together.
Yeah, and there was unity.
Fighting for our lives.
Yeah. You know, there was such an impact from World War II on my life that I have been fascinated by what was going on at that time ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I read what I can get a hold of. Just outside my office here is a large painting of Winston Churchill. I've been trying to figure out what the adults were so excited about at that time. Did it affect you that way?
Yes, and what gave those leaders that we had, thank God for them, the courage, the insight, the cooperative efforts between Great Britain and America and some of the other countries, our allies as we call them, and they were, to fight enemies that were determined to destroy democracy and our way of life. God saved this country, and he saved freedom for a while. And he saved
a lot of people praying at that time.
Yes, everybody.
And
there
was
nobody
praying.
Was ashamed to go to church or to express their faith.
400,000 men, American men, died in that war.
Fathers.
And countless others were maimed or wounded.
There was, you know, Thomas Jefferson said a long time ago in the early days of our country, from time to time, the soil of liberty must be stained with the blood of martyrs. He knew then that as we had to fight for our freedoms to begin with, that we would not hold on to them forever without fighting and bloodshed.
Do you remember sitting at the dinner table and hearing the anxiety from the adults at the table?
And every time we went to a movie, the newsreels, all about the war effort and whether we were winning or losing. And
see, we didn't go to movies because we were Christians.
But yes, and we prayed. We prayed for our fighting men and some women. We prayed for our forces. I mean, we knew that this was a struggle for our existence. And now it's a different kind of a struggle. We came through Pearl Harbor. Thank God for that. We've come through 9/11. Thank God for that. But boy, the battle's not over, and we're going to have to – it's going to take everything in us and a lot of sacrifice, a lot of prayer to hold on to our liberties. When we had a tremendous earthquake in California and Los Angeles, and I was away. I didn't go through this, but surely it was 4:30 in the morning. And boy, the house was shaking and rocking, and it sounded like a freight train was coming through the house. Shirley was out of bed in a flash, running through the upstairs foyer. There was a chandelier swinging back and forth. She glimpsed water splashing up like geysers in the swimming pool, saying, "Girls," four girls scattered into four bedrooms, "girls, it's okay. It's just an earthquake." Just an earthquake. She gathered the girls together and sat, and they joined hands on a bed while it's still rocking underneath and began to pray. And they prayed their way through the earthquake. And then the girls went to school that day, and other kids were panicked and like having almost nervous breakdowns because they saw the fear in their parents, where surely, God bless her, had just gathered them together, said, "It's okay, let's pray." But, I mean, these are climactic moments, and through these times, you learn the value of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know where to turn—
Yeah.
It's psychologically damaging. It may haunt you the rest of your life. If you know the Lord and if parents can gather their kids and say, "It's okay, God's in control," you can come through those things.
Well, it has happened in the past and it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Because that's the nature of this human
world.
Condition.
Yeah.
And we better be ready for it and know who's in charge.
Kids need to know the best you can teach them that what we know now today may not be here tomorrow. It may have changed drastically. So don't take anything for granted. Stay close to the Lord and trust Him, because something bad could happen. You don't want to have them walk in fear, but to realize that every day is a gift from God. We should be grateful for it and be ready to take whatever may come that's different than that, and don't give up the trust in Him, because a lot of our friends don't have that, and we can be strong for them when the calamity does come. It could be a dear relative that suddenly dies. It could be a dad loses his job. It could be whatever it could be. It could be an accident in a car, which too often happens.
Did your uncles come back from World War II?
Yeah, mine did. We were so blessed.
So many didn't.
Yeah.
I think what I would most want the younger generation to know is the sacrifice that was made for the liberties that we enjoy today.
Mm-hmm.
Kids have never, experienced the loss of liberty, have no idea what it would be like in this country not to be able to worship as you want or speak as you want and have to sacrifice blood. I mean, I said earlier 400,000 men died in World War II, and so many others came home horribly mangled, and their lives were never the same.
Yeah.
We went over to Normandy, and we walked through the cemetery there, and I looked out at those waters of the English Channel, and there were 300 yards of sand that those men had to run past with machine guns pouring lead down on them.
Yeah.
And I want this generation to know that freedom is not free.
Mm-mm.
It is bought with a price.
Yeah.
And there's some men and women over there in the Middle East right now who are paying that same price.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them are men whose wives are home taking care of children alone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talk about a sacrifice.
Yeah.
That's what I want people to remember with Pearl Harbor
Day.
And
we can't afford to let it just slip away through apathy or ignorance because they pay too dear a price for it. And you know, Christians, if we would vote in every election, if Christians would vote knowledgeably, we could win every election. Unfortunately, so many Christians that are eligible to vote just don't take the time or the trouble, or they think, "Well, I don't want to be involved in politics, or I don't like this either candidate." Boy, we better be voting for the best candidate we can find. We better be voting for the right in the issues, because we can give up what's been bought at such a terrible price.
You know, I shudder to think what would have happened if we had not elected Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who led that war.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things he did that were
Harry Truman
socialistic
after.
In nature, and I haven't agreed with a lot of the things that I heard that he's done. And I did live through the latter part of his third and fourth term. But he did understand the war, and
yeah.
he did understand the threat.
And the enemy.
And the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that
we needed
we
leadership,
will have leaders
and we got it. Yeah.
that recognize that as well. Because
yeah.
Somebody's going to try to take that freedom
sure.
away from
and
us.
And they're trying right this minute.
Yeah.
And it's relentless. So we've got to, I think we've got to be prayer warriors. We war, we don't battle against flesh and blood as much as we do against principalities and powers. And we need to be praying constantly. And then, of course, supporting our troops and letting them know we appreciate them. And on a Pearl Harbor day especially, find ways to just thank people, even aged veterans. Who
is there any song from that era that you
well,
could sing
the
for?
The bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover. Tomorrow, just you wait and see. There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after. Tomorrow, when the world is free.
I can't tell you what memories that brings back
oh.
for me. And I was only five,
yeah.
but everybody was singing that
yeah,
song.
That's right.
And it related to the White Cliffs of Dover in the UK,
mm-hmm.
Where the German planes would come
yeah.
Over the English Channel.
Instead of bluebirds, there
yeah.
were the Messerschmitts.
That's exactly right.
Flying in and bombing innocent people.
End the program today by saying a word of thanks and appreciation to the wives and mothers out there that I was talking about
mm-hmm.
and to what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, to the military generally.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you'd like to say to them in closing?
My eternal gratitude, every 4th of July, every Veterans Day, Memorial Day, I go out to the cemetery in Westwood where there are tens of thousands of, well, they've been crosses, but I just learned the ACLU is causing the crosses to be replaced with markers.
Oh, come
stone
on.
Stone markers. Take the crosses down. This is what we face. That's what I'm saying. We've got enemies within as well as without. But I go there and I read
that
the names.
That takes my breath away.
I know. I was trying to remember that a while ago to tell you. I forgot what it was. But in those tens of thousands of graves, I read the names out loud. I just say the names because I know that in many cases, those names haven't been spoken in years and those bodies were put in the ground there and all their futures and their dreams and their ambitions were buried with them. And I just want to say their names out loud
and there's nobody
and thank them.
Now to defend them because
right.
it's been all those years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah. So I thank them. And there's Jewish stars and there's crosses and there are Muslim signs as well. And I just say their names out loud and say thank you. So I say that now to every family that has had a loved one go and fight and defend and take any part in the defense of this country. Because without that, we would not exist right now. We wouldn't be talking freely as we do right now. We're not for their sacrifice. So God bless you forever.
Thank you, Pat, for being with us today on Pearl Harbor Day. And you will accept our invitation, I hope, to come back in January.
I can almost hear what we're going to say.
Will you maybe sing a little bit for
well,
us?
It's hard to keep me from doing it, really.
Right.
They just leak out from time to time.
Give our love to Shirley and your family.
And you're Shirley, too.
And Debbie Boone, everybody remembers.
Oh, she's
you
back
light up
full-time.
My life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have a new album called Near of Love Songs, intimate love songs. I got to get that to you for you and your Shirley.
Send it to me.
I'll do it.
Okay. Well, that was an interview with my very good friend, Pat Boone, who was with us several years ago, and I let you hear that today not only to commemorate Pearl Harbor Day, but also to let you hear from another friend who has been sitting here listening to this program from start to finish. His name is Dr. Tim Clinton. He's come out from Lynchburg, Virginia. And Tim, it's great to have you with us. Did you enjoy what we were just listening
to? Dr. Dobson, I loved that broadcast. That conversation was mesmerizing, and what a wonderful way to honor our veterans and to remember Pearl Harbor Day. We don't give a lot of attention Pearl Harbor Day.
I loved the songs that we were singing. I mean, yes. It's been all those years. I was 5 years old, and I remember them like they were yesterday. That White Cliffs of Dover has a phrase in it that was relevant to me. It says, and Jimmy will sleep in his own little bed again. What that made reference to, and I wish I'd have said it on the program before, is that many of the children in London and in various parts of England were put on trains and sent to Scotland to take care of them because the city was being bombed. And that phrase, Jimmy will sleep in his own little bed again, referred to bringing the children back from Scotland. I say, why would I remember that after all these years, other than the fact that my name is Jim, and in those days it was Jimmy, and that made reference to me, that Jimmy will sleep in his own little bed again. There was so much in that interview that brought back not only memories, but fears and emotion from that very troubling time.
It took me back to my dad. As a boy, I remember my dad telling stories about World War II. He was a part of that generation that Tom Brokaw called the greatest generation ever, World War II veterans.
That was well named because that's what they were.
My dad served on the USS Pennsylvania, Dr. Dobson. He was in the South Pacific. I asked my dad, I said, Dad, were you ever a part of Pearl Harbor? He said, no, he wasn't. But he said he went through there not long after. And he said it just absolutely terrified him, what he saw. My dad would tell us stories, Dr. Dobson, of what it was like. He was in his teenage years. And he said, Tim, can you imagine being on that big battleship? He said, those warplanes would come in, those kamikaze pilots. And he said, the guns would be going boom, 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 trying to knock him out of the air. He said, we were terrified. He said, we got hit by torpedoes. He said, one time a gun misfired. I remember him telling this. Mm-hmm. And he had to carry the shell and drop it over the edge of the ship. He told the story of when he got back to the mainland. He said, when I got back home, I literally kissed the ground. Oh. I was so happy to be home.
Oh, I would love to have seen a video of that, of him getting down, showing such appreciation for this country. This generation, the younger generation, millennials, seem to have no awareness at all of the sacrifices made to keep this country safe.
We were in Washington, D.C. as a family not long ago. Well, Zach was younger, my son, and he and I broke away from Julie and Megan. They went shopping, and we went to Arlington Cemetery. And I remember pulling in the parking lot, and it's like, Dad, where are we going? There weren't very many cars in the parking lot. But we got out of the car and began to walk together through this sea of white crosses.
You know, Shirley and I have been to Normandy three times, and we also walked through those crosses. It's so emotional. Shirley said that I disappeared during that time, and she and our friends couldn't find me. And I was in a little chapel there on my knees praying and thanking God for the men who died, many of them 17 years of age. And as I walked through that cemetery and the names and the dates of their births and deaths were inscribed there, I found the grave of a soldier who died on May the 8th, 1945. Wow. Does that date ring a bell to you? That was the last day of World War II. He died on that day. I mean, there was so much meaning there, but I want to say to all the servicemen and women who are out there, thank you for what you do. Thank you for the sacrifice that they've made and are making. And I tried to say it in this interview that it's not only the men and women who are on battlefields that are making the sacrifice, but it's those at home, the wives in most cases, who are raising children alone while their husbands are away. That grabs at my heart even today.
As we walked our way up through Arlington Cemetery, Dr. Dobson, something unusual happened. We came across two separate funerals, and we stopped. and stood silently, and I watched my son observe the pain of those families putting their son and or daughter to rest.
So these were veterans who had lived out their lives. And
he said he'll never forget it. Never forget it.
Those men who survived that were not through. They fought all the way to Germany. And very few of them survived both Normandy and that long fight to end the war in
Can't
Germany.
Can't even begin to imagine.
Yeah, we owe them a lot, don't we?
We owe them a lot.
That's why we've dedicated this program to Pearl Harbor Day.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.